Going to talk to you today about the Spirit-led life, or how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, if you walk according to the flesh, there will be condemnation. If you live under condemnation, you know you are not living a Spirit-led life. Now, it didn't say Christians would not have condemnation. It said those who walk in the flesh shall have condemnation. Condemnation prohibits you from moving to the place of excellence. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So he's saying that it's possible to go to heaven and still live according to the flesh. For those who live according to the flesh, this is verse 5, set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal man is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. The King James says, quicken your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, or, of course, daughters of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and daughters of God, or the sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit. So I want to talk to you about this week about the Spirit-led life. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. The Apostle Paul had a tremendous teaching here in 1 Corinthians 2 to the church at Corinth concerning the Spirit-led life. He said in verse 1, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive or enticing words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. That's a bold statement. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 is not a heaven scripture. When I was growing up as a boy, I would hear preachers take 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 and start preaching about heaven. And we all rejoiced. In fact, we don't hear enough about heaven anymore. People enjoying this earth too much. Folks, this is not our heaven. Why is it that some some sinners enjoy this life so much? Why can they enjoy sin when we can't? You must understand, this is their heaven. This is all the heaven that some people will ever know. This is as good as it will ever get. So we cannot enjoy some things that people that don't know the Lord enjoy, because this is not our heaven. So we don't want an improper mixture. We don't want to mix the wool and the linen, because we will have our heaven in days to come. So this is not a heaven scripture. He said, it is written, I has not seen, speaking of the natural eye. Ear has not heard, speaking of the natural ear. Neither in the heart of man, the natural mind of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. What did He say? But God hath revealed those things unto us through the spirit man. You know, we must understand that we are a trinity. We are a triune being. We are spirit, soul, and body. We have the same spirit that we'll have throughout eternity. Same spirit. Then we have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then we have a body, which houses our soul and our spirit. And James simply talked about death is simply a separation of the spirit and the soul from the body. The only thing that keeps this body moving around is my spirit and my soul. If my spirit and my soul leave this body, then my body goes limp. Amen? So Paul simplified it in 1 Corinthians 15 and 44 when he said there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. You understand, this natural body the spirit and the soul will leave it, and then the natural body will go back to the dust of the earth from which it came, because it's mortal. And, of course, when I die, my spirit and my soul goes to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So when are we with the Lord? Immediately, when the soul and spirit leaves the body, I am immediately with the Lord. That's good. Paul said, I had rather be with the Lord than to be here. But it's necessary that I'm here until I fulfill my mission. So my dad went to heaven about a month ago, and my nephew was at the hospital, and my dad went to heaven about midnight. He said he was at the hospital about 6 o'clock. He began to hear this fluttering, and he knew what it was. It was angels' wings. And I believe that the angels had gathered to carry my dad's spirit and soul to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. And so about midnight, he went to be with the Lord. They took his spirit and soul, took him to be with the Lord, who actually that's who he is, in his body. Was left here. We took his body out and buried it. And on the resurrection morning, his spirit and soul will come back to his body, and his body, his mortal body, will put on immortality. You know, Christians, they get excited about death. Amen? We just get excited about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, we have a natural body, we have a spiritual body. My natural body has eyes. I see you. My natural body has ears. I hear you. Amen? And then my natural body has a mind. Okay? But you must understand, my spiritual man, my spiritual body, also has eyes. And my spiritual body also has ears. And my spiritual body also has a spiritual mind. Hallelujah. It's referred to as the heart by some in the Bible. The innermost being. And so I operate in two worlds. Operate in two worlds. I operate in this present world with my natural eyes, natural ears, and my mind. And that I also operate in a supernatural world, in a supernatural realm, with spiritual eyes and spiritual ears and a spiritual mind. So Paul is enlarging here now when he said, "Eye has not seen, ear not heard, nor have entered the heart of man or the mind of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." In other words, my mind and my natural man cannot comprehend the things of God. Amen? But verse 10, "But God has revealed these things unto us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." In other words, the only thing we can know things about each other in the natural. So my eyes take in things and my ears take in things, and it cooperates with my mind to gather information. My mind has the capacity or the capability to gather data and facts and figures and information. It's called the wisdom of this world. But my mind, my natural mind, does not have the capability or the capacity to understand or gather or discern the things of the Spirit. That's why that people who are brilliant in the natural mind think the things of the Spirit are foolish, because they cannot operate in that realm. They cannot operate in that dimension. Paul said, "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God." Verse 13, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Now, here's what he says in verse 14. "The natural man does not receive the things of God, for they are foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Verse 15, "But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one." What does that mean? That means that people that are not spiritual, they can't judge what you are saying in the spirit realm, in the supernatural realm. You may say, "Well, I have a word from God about an invention." And they may say, "Well, that will never work." You know why? Because they're judging it from a natural realm. That's why when you tell your dreams and visions to a person who operates in the natural realm, they'll scoff at that. That's why Joseph's brothers threw him in the pit, because they could not comprehend what he was saying. They eventually did, but they could not comprehend at that present moment. And so that means that it's very difficult for you to have close relationships with a person that does not operate in a spiritual realm, because they will scoff at what you're saying. Verse 16, "Who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" Because we have the mind of Christ, or the Spirit of Christ. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So Paul is saying, he's saying it very boldly, that we can operate according to the way Christ would operate if he was here in a physical realm. It's called the Spirit-led life. Hallelujah. Now, we can go back to the Old Testament and get some further understanding from a prophet whose name is Ezekiel. And we might as well go to Ezekiel chapter 1. See, folks, I believe these are days more than ever before that we need to live a spirit-led life. That does not mean when we get into church and we begin to feel the Holy Ghost. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Ooh, now I'm being led by the Spirit. No, I believe it means a spirit-led life. Day after day after day. Hallelujah. I believe that God desires to open up the eyes of understanding and let us know that we need to live on a higher level or higher realm than we are living. So Ezekiel gives us some insight. Ezekiel 1 verse 1, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw, somebody say, I saw visions of God. Now, there are 10 different ways that God speaks to man, but there are 3 different major ways that we are able to get revelation. First of all, we see things. And I'm under the persuasion that we can have whatever we can see. Jeremiah 33 and 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Now, why would he want to show you great and mighty things? Just to get you to live in la-la land? Would he want to show you great and mighty things just to tease you, to frustrate you, to aggravate you, to agitate you? Huh? No, I believe he wants to show you great and mighty things because what he wants to show you is attainable. And it's for you and your children and their children. I believe that whatever God shows you is for you and your children and their children. Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and said, this promise is to you and your children. Any promise that God gives me is also to my children and my grandchildren. God's a generational God. I'm going to say it again. God is a generational God. That's why I'm not ever going to give my children or my grandchildren over to the devil, because they're carrying my promises around. Huh? So I believe that whatever we see, we can have. God was always in the Old Testament going around asking men, what do you see? He said to Jeremiah, what do you see? He said to Amos, what do you see? He said to Zechariah, what do you see? And then they would rehearse back to the Lord what they saw. You must understand the principle of declaring what we see. Our words become creative and it begins to set our world in motion. See, a dream is no good until the dream is articulated. That's why the devil wants to contain your dreams and you not speak your dreams, for fear of reprisal, for fear of rebuke, for fear of misunderstanding, for fear of persecution. Because as long as a dream is deep inside of you, it is contained inside of you, it will never come to pass. That's why the Lord says in Song of Solomon, I want to hear your voice. Your voice is sweet. There's something about your voice. See, your voice can speak to mountains, and the mountains will respond to your voice. Your voice can speak to adversity, and the adversity will respond to your voice. Your voice is a powerful instrument. And so you take your dreams and you speak your dreams, and your dreams go out there and begins to take formation, begins to create, begins to form your future and the future of your children and the future of your grandchildren. He said, so I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, which is in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi. Where's your daddy Buzi? In the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire. So he sees, amen, he sees things. Then he said in verse 5, and also from within the fire came the likeness of 4 living creatures. Then he begins to describe the 4 living creatures. And then he says in verse 12, and each one of these living creatures went straight forward, They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go. They did not go wherever they wanted to go. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go. If you're going to live a Spirit-led life, you go where the Spirit wants to go, not where you want to go. Huh? Then he said, then it describes some more about the creatures. Verse 15, as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature with its four faces. And there was a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Huh? That's Jesus. That's the Holy Ghost. The wheel in the middle of the wheel. Verse 20, and each of these went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went. It's called the Spirit-led life. Let's go to Ezekiel 2. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard. First of all, he saw. Now he hears. Hallelujah. So we have spiritual eyes to see what's going on in the spirit realm. You know, the wonderful thing about spiritual eyes is that we, our spiritual eyes, can see into tomorrow. Ha ha. Into next week. Into next month, into next year. Our spirit eyes can see in 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, 20 years. My natural eyes only can see what's going on right here. Only has the capacity to see what's happening in this room. I see a little bit through the glass into the vestibule. That's all that my natural eyes have the capability of seeing. But my spiritual eyes have the capability, the capacity to see into the street, into the next city, into the next nation. Huh? Around the corner, over the hill. It's amazing. It's amazing. Then he said, I heard. Now my natural ear can only hear sounds from a short distance. But my spiritual ears can hear the sound from heaven. I can hear the sound from heaven. I can hear, glory to God. My spiritual ear can hear sounds from another world. My spiritual ear can hear sounds in the future. My spiritual ear can hear sounds from another nation. Glory to God. So Ezekiel heard a voice of one speaking. He said, the voice spoke to me and said, I'm sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. And then he said, you'll speak to them. Then we go into Ezekiel chapter 3. And he said, verse 9, like an adamant stone, harder than flint, I've made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. More he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart all the words that I speak to you. Receive into your heart. So the three major avenues that the Holy Ghost speaks to us is through our spiritual eyes, through our spiritual ears, and through our spiritual heart, or Paul described it as the mind of Christ. That means that sometimes God shows me things in the Spirit. That means that sometimes I hear the voice of the Lord. My natural ear cannot pick up that sound. Then sometimes God puts things in my heart. I never hear it in my ear. I never see it with my eye. But he makes a deposit in my heart. The prophet Nathan said to David, do all that is in your heart. Sometimes I just wake up in the morning and know that God has made a deposit in my heart. Gene and I, about 14 months ago, we moved to Rockwall, Texas. We knew that we was in transition. I knew that my time up to lead the revival of Fort Worth was up about 1997. And you just know when you start getting in some type of transition. You just know that when it's starting to come. But you cannot make decisions on your own. You can't make choices on your own. You know when a time is coming. You know there is a shift, a change. But you don't know how it's going to take place, and you don't know when it's going to take place, and you don't know where it's going to take place. And so even on your job or in your business or whatever is going on, you just feel a shift coming. It's called the Spirit-led life. And so Gene and I felt a shift coming in 1997, but we didn't know what to do. And folks, I believe it's very difficult to miss the will of God. I've heard people say it's so easy to miss the will of God. No, I think it's very difficult. If you're honestly seeking the will of God, I don't believe it's very easy to miss the will of God. For somehow, when you start missing the will of God, the Lord will cut you off at the pass. I used to watch those old Lone Ranger movies, you know. I love to watch the Lone Ranger and Tonto. Yeah, I know. I'm marking my age right there. Of course, I was raised in a very legalistic background, so we didn't have television in my house, but I'd sneak off to the neighbors and watch the Lone Ranger. And so I loved it. And the Lone Ranger and Tonto, they would cut the enemy off at the pass, you know. The enemy would be, I mean, the bad guys would be going way down, and they'd cut off through the mountains and the hills. It was amazing how they could do that, you know. And they could jump over canyons and all kinds of stuff. And so they'd cut the bad guys off at the pass, and right there in the pass, they'd cut them off. And that's the way that I believe the Holy Ghost does. We start making the wrong choices, making the wrong moves, and the Holy Ghost starts cutting us off at the pass. So when we start praying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done in this matter, and you must understand that anything that concerns us concerns God. So we just say, Lord, I don't want to miss your will on this thing. I want your will to be done. I want to go wherever you want me to go, do whatever you want me to do, stay wherever you want me to stay. Whatever it is, I just don't want to miss your will. I believe that when we start praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, the will of God is in motion for us. And God is working with us. Hallelujah. When we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all of these other things begin to come together. They begin to be added to us. God is concerned about where we live. God is concerned about where we work. God is concerned about our business. God is concerned about every facet of our lives. So we didn't know what to do. So we just kept praying. And we had planned on moving to a certain location. And I'm telling you, God just cut us off from that place. And then the Lord put Rockwall, Texas in our heart that we were to move there. Now, He never said move to Rockwall. This is where a lot of people miss living a Spirit-led life. So I'm going to go back and talk about seeing and talking about hearing. But one of the ignored areas of living a Spirit-led life is ignoring what is in our heart. See, somewhere in this area of you, there is what I call a knower. Somebody said, where is my knower? Well, it's somewhere in here. And but there is a knower. And there's just certain things that you know in your spirit. And so we knew that we were to move to Rockwall, and then there began to be some opposition to our mission. But that will always happen. Anytime you start moving to do the will of God, there shall be opposition to your mission. And so when the opposition came, we thought, well, we'll move to another place. And so we went and visited different places. And every time we'd go to one of those cities in Texas, because we wanted to stay in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, because it's easy to travel in and out of there. And we do as much traveling as we do. That's very, very important. And so we'd go to this town, And the Holy Ghost would not say, no, this is not it. We just thought, oh, man, this is not it. We go to another place. Oh, no. We started one place. We got about halfway there and just get that sinking feeling before you ever get there. And we went to another place, went to Waco, Texas. We sat in a Marie Callender's having a piece of pie and a cup of coffee. You know, when you don't know what to do, just go to Marie Callender's, have a piece of pie and a cup of coffee. And we just sat there and said, we know this is not it. And we went to another place. We said, this is the ugliest town we've ever been to. And, you know, a lot of the Spirit-led life is the process of elimination. You just do it. You say, well, we know that's not it. We tried that for a while, but we know that's not it. So it's sometimes just the process of elimination. And we go to all these places, and that's not it. But every time we come back to Rockwall, it was in our heart. So you must examine as you live and as you lead a Spirit-led life, you must examine what is in my heart. What is it that makes me tick? What is my passion anyhow? And so God wants to lead and guide and direct us. God wants to be involved in our lives. I have some students in my training center, Breakout Training Center, just taking some people that have a heart for God, helping them get in the ministry, fulfill the call of God upon their lives. And I just said to them, I'm going to get into every area of your life. And that's what God is saying. I want to get into every area of your life. Hallelujah. And it makes no difference how young we are or how old we are. God wants to get into every area of our life. It makes no difference how important we are or how unimportant we think we are. God wants to be involved in every area of our life. And so we must know that life is a very precious thing. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. And life is more than just living and dying. Life is more than just getting saved and going to heaven. But life was meant to live it to its fullest. And once we begin to understand that God is a generational God, we'll enjoy life more. Because we will realize that the plan of God is passed down from one generation to another generation to another generation. So it's not enough for me to live a Spirit-led life, but I must know that my family is involved in the same Spirit-led life. And that gifts and talents and abilities are passed down from generation to generation to generation. See, by profession, I am a radio announcer. That's how I started out. Before God called me to preach. But my grandfather was also an announcer. Now, he did not have radio, but he owned a telephone company, and he would announce the news at 5 o'clock every afternoon. He would get all of the people on his telephone line, and they would all pick up the receiver at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and he would broadcast the news. He would broadcast the news to everybody on his and all of the customers in his telephone company. And then it was just passed down to his grandson, and then I became a broadcaster of news. So that's what happens. Gifts and talents of it is passed down from one generation to the next generation. And that everything that I do in the Spirit-led life, that everything that I do in the plan of God, I do in consideration of my children and my grandchildren. When I was a pastor, when I would get a Christmas bonus from my church, I would share it equally with my children, even though they were small. That's why they're not hardened against the ministry today. I remember Brother Winston Schaefer, when he was a pastor, he would go out and help his sons, get up early in the morning, go out and throw newspapers for his sons so they could have a vacation or go to youth camp or what have you. They're in the ministry today. So everything we do, we must do in mind that the plan is also involving the generations to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so in the Spirit-led life, God puts things in our hearts. Sometimes we never hear the voice, we never see, but God puts it in our hearts. So the natural man does not have the capability or the capacity to know what is best for us. And if we live a life of leaning to our own understanding in every decision we make and every choice we make, then we will always live the low life. Amen? Because we will only make our choices and decisions based on information or facts or our own understanding. That's why the Bible says that we must trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. We must not lean to our own understanding. But in all of our ways, we must acknowledge Him because He desires to direct our path. So I have to declare, I don't know what's best for me. I think I do, but I don't. And I must realize that God is always working a plan in my life. And I must always be alert. I must always be attentive to the plan. Because if I'm not attentive to the plan, I will always be prone to accept second best. The natural man always is willing to accept second best. The natural man is always willing to accept an inferior plan. Let me illustrate. Gene and I lived for several years in the 80s in Rockwall. And the church had provided us with a place to live, and then they said, you know, we're going to sell that, so you'll have to move. So Gene and I began to look around in Rockwall for a condominium. And we looked and looked and looked. And finally Gene found one that would be suitable. And she said, I believe that this is the best. And I said, okay, let's think about it and pray about it. Anything that's major, we never make an immediate decision at that point. We always go home and pray about it. And so we went and prayed about it, and as we began to pray, I heard the voice of the Lord say, you're accepting second best. It's called the Spirit-led life. That's why I get up and pray in the morning time. I pray to know God, and I pray to know what He wants me to do. Because choices I make not only affect me, they affect my children, my grandchildren, and they affect people around me. It's not just about me. It is about me, but it's not just about me. It's about people around me. And so I heard the Holy Spirit say, this is second best. So I said to Jean, you know what I heard the Holy Ghost say? This is second best. She said, well, we've been looking for days. And we've looked and looked and looked, and this looks like the best to me. I said, well, we'll move there, but it's second best. She said, well, I don't want second best, so let's say we're not going to move there, and let's keep praying. So we kept praying. And as we prayed, we began to watch. The Bible says we're to watch and pray. So we got out and started looking. And as we were praying, we were looking. We were watching and praying. You know, some people, they just sit at home and pray. But the Bible says, watch and pray. So we got out and watched. And so, Jean, she was out looking around, and she comes to this addition, gated community, by the lake, where they're building brand new condominiums. And she goes to this one condominium that's almost completed, but it doesn't have any carpet or wallpaper or anything. And she calls up the owner, and she says, I want to lease this condominium. He says, no, it's for sale. She said, no, I want to lease it. He said, no, it's for sale. She said, well, I want to lease it. He said, okay. And he met with her, and he said, okay, I'll lease it to you for so much a month. And since you're going to move into it, why don't you go ahead and decorate it? Why don't you put whatever carpet you want in it? Tell me what kind of carpet. I'll give you the carpet samples, the wallpaper, the paint, whatever, however you want to decorate it. And when she came home, when I came home, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. She said, I found this new condominium, and I'm going to decorate it. I only have to sign a year's lease, but I'm going to decorate it. And so we moved in to a brand new condominium with all of Jean's colors, with everything she wanted in the condominium. Didn't have to buy it, just leased it. It was like a mansion to the other condominium. But the natural man said, this is the best thing available. But the spirit man said, no, there's a higher. There's a higher. This is second best. That's not the best thing available. There's something better. It's called the spirit-led life. So the natural man always leans to the path of least resistance. The natural man always leans to second best. We're willing to settle for second best. But it's called the spirit-led life. You see, when Abraham leaned to his own understanding, he accepted second best. He accepted Ishmael instead of Isaac. Because he was not willing to wait for the best. So your mind does not have the capability, the capacity to be led by the Spirit. The Bible says here in Ezekiel chapter 1 that the creatures went wherever the Spirit wanted to go. God, you say, well, you think God wanted you to live in a nice condominium? Yeah. Yeah, he did. God's concerned about where I live, what I drive, where I work, where I minister. Hallelujah. God wants me to prosper. God wants me to be blessed. God wants me to enjoy life. But I must be led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Because if we're not led by the Spirit, we'll go off in a direction that we're not supposed to go. We'll be led in a way by our natural circumstances. You know, so many people are moved by natural circumstances. We're not to be moved by natural circumstances. We are to live a Spirit-led life. In other words, we're to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. We are to go wherever the Spirit goes. That's what happened in Ezekiel 1. The four living creatures, they went wherever the Spirit wanted to go. Hallelujah. And when we begin to cooperate with the Holy Ghost, then God begins to show us a higher order, a higher way. In 1985, I'd been pastoring for 8.5 years in Oklahoma City. And one day as I was walking down the road, the Holy Spirit just said, you've taken this church as far as you can take it, and you're through here. And I said, Lord, where am I going to go next? And he said, not a word. You know, I've discovered that God speaks when he wants to speak, and he remains silent when he wants to remain silent. I mean, you can get in any type of posture you want to. You can fast 48 days and nights, but God's only going to speak when he wants to speak. You can use King James language. Oh, thou hast got us, knowest, thou needest to speak to meest. And you can do all kinds of that stuff if you want to, but God's going to speak when he wants to speak. And he speaks at the most unusual times. I heard a lot of people scoffing because Oral Roberts said that God spoke to him while he was reading a Dick Tracy magazine. Oh, God can't speak to you. Well, sure he can. He can speak to you anytime. Yeah, everybody's going out buying Dick Tracy magazine. Yeah, God can speak to any way he wants to. But he's only going to speak when he wants to speak. So I said, where am I going? He didn't say a word. And I kept asking him, and he didn't say a word. I just knew I was leaving there. See, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:9, we know it in part and prophesy in part. It only comes in parts. And you just have to trust him. He does not lead you a mile at a time. He leads you a step at a time. He didn't say the miles of a righteous person are ordered by the Lord. He said the steps. And sometimes the little baby steps. But it's just called waiting on God. So I got tired of waiting. I did. And some things can really come to your mind that are not God at all. And I got to thinking about Phoenix, Arizona. And I remember the times I'd go through Phoenix, I'd get those little doodads and I'd feel the little quiver. And I thought, yeah, I really believe that I'm supposed to go to Phoenix and start a church. So I got to thinking about it. The more I thought about it, the more I liked the idea. You see, there are good ideas and then God ideas. And some people think they've got a God idea and it's not a God idea at all. It's only a good idea. It's not a God idea. So, you know, you think about something long enough, you'll carry it out, usually. And so we decided we was going to go to Phoenix. Because I could see myself there. Pastoring a great church, land of the sun. Eating those nachos under those palm trees. Drinking Coca-Cola. The good life. The good life. Yeah. So Gene and I, we had us a new car we thought we'd just drive. So we were loading up to go to Phoenix. And just before we left, a friend of mine in Rockwall, Texas, his name was Larry Lee, he called me up and said, Dale, why don't you and Gene come to see us? And I said, well, we're going to Phoenix. He said, well, we're not far off the beaten path. Why don't you come by and spend a few days with us? So I said, okay, we'll do that. So on the way to Rockwall, Texas, we were driving down the road, and all of a sudden, Gene looks at me and says, I heard the Holy Spirit say, we're moving to Rockwall. I said, what? What would I do in Rockwall? Well, you just serve on the staff, the church staff there. I said, ain't no way I'm going to be a senior pastor. I'm not going to serve on nobody's staff. I'm not going to do that. I'm a senior pastor. I'm in charge. I'm not going to, no. So I thought that was going to be the end of it. Now, you know, I had a hard time thinking, well, you know, God talks to her, not talking to me. I'm the man of faith and power. Why would he do that, you know? And about 30 minutes later, she turns to me and said, Dale, I heard the Holy Ghost say, we're moving to Rockwall. I said, no. I said, I've known Larry all these years. He's never said anything to me about moving to Rockwall. And you know, we're going to Phoenix. We're going to go pioneer a church there. I don't want to move to Rockwall. And she said, well, I think you need to talk to Larry about it. I said, no, I'm not talking to him about it. I said, you know, if it's God, he'd say something to me about it. Well, we drove up. I never forget, it was a Wednesday night. We drove up in front of the church, and it was before service time, because he said, meet me at the church, come to church. And out the front door comes this guy named David Shibley. He's now a friend of mine. He was the missions director, Dr. David Shibley. And he comes out to the car and says, Dale, Larry wants to see you right away. And so I go in there, and he says to me, he's leading this home group meeting for his leaders. And he said, Dale, he said, God is talking to me about you. He said, I'm going to turn the service over to my associate tonight. He said, I want you to come on out to my house. We got to talk. And so we went out to his house and sat down at the table, started having a little snack. He said, Dale, God is talking to me about you guys moving to Rockwall, Texas. I said, oh, God. And Gene's grinning. You see, when we have a word from God, we need it to be confirmed. 2 Corinthians 13:1, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be confirmed. You don't just act on what you think you're hearing, you understand, or you think you're seeing, because there is a fine line between your voice and God's voice. There is also a fine line between God's voice and the devil's voice. Fine line. So sometimes you need, particularly if it's a major decision, a major move, a major turn, you need confirmation. The more major it is, the more confirmation you need. In the mouth of two or three witnesses. So, Gene had a voice, heard a voice, and then it was confirmed there. And he said, what do you think? I said, well, I don't know. I haven't heard God say it. He said, well, why don't you guys just stay a few extra days here? I know you're on your way to Phoenix. Why don't you stay a few extra days and pray about it? I said, okay. So we began to pray. Thank God for prayers. Thank God for the opportunity to pray. And as we begin to pray and let our spirit get rested, see, I believe that revelation comes out of rest. People that have a difficult time hearing from God are people that are filled with activity. There's just so much activity, and there's so many voices speaking that you can't hear the voice. And when you hear so many voices and you hear the wrong voices, you make wrong choices. I preached a series one time called Wrong Voices, Wrong Choices. When you hear the wrong voices, you make the wrong choices. And so sometimes we have all these activities going on in our life. We hear all these voices, but we don't hear the voice. There is a voice that is in the middle of all of the voices. Just like there was a wheel in the middle of the wheel, there's a voice in the middle of the voice. And the voice in the middle of the voice is the one that you want to hear. But because you're so busy and there's so much activity going on, you can't hear the voice. And I've said many times that revelation comes out of rest. You let your body get rested, let your emotions get rested, let your spirit get rested, and then you get revelation. And revelation simply is a revealing of those things that God wants to speak to you about. A revealing of those things to come. A revealing of those things that God is doing in your life. It's just simply called revelation. The last book in the Bible is called Revelation because John had a revealing of those things to come. But he was out on the Isle of Patmos. Not much to do out there, I'm sure. I believe his spirit got quiet. We need to let our spirit get quiet. Revelation comes out of rest. So as I began to rest, after a few days, one morning the Holy Spirit woke me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I looked at the clock, it's 4 o'clock, and he said to me, move to Rockwall. So I needed some confirmation. Gene had some confirmation. I needed some confirmation. He said, move to Rockwall, and here's what he said to me. This will be your brook Cherith. So I went and had met Larry Lee for breakfast. He said, Dale, have you heard from God? I said, yeah, I heard it this morning. He said, what did the Holy Spirit say? I said, he said, move to Rockwall, and this will be your brook Cherith. And he said, that is incredible. And he took his Bible and he opened it. He said, this morning while I was praying, I was reading from 1 Kings chapter 17. And when I got to where Elijah, God commanded him to go to the brook Cherith, the Holy Ghost said to me, circle those words, brook Cherith. Of course, I had to weep. Hallelujah. It's amazing how God is mindful of us. How he could be so mindful of man, made him lower than the angels, and yet God is so mindful of us. But God cut me off at the pass. I've heard Brother Winston Schaefer tell the story about many times how he and Sister Schaefer were on their way to Tennessee. God just cut them off. They ended up in Altus, Oklahoma. And that's what God did to us. We were on our way to Phoenix. And God cut us off and brought us to Rockwall. I didn't stay there long, 2 years. But it was during that two-year time that God set my whole world in another motion. And as a result now, God has opened doors across America, around the world. And I'm doing things I never dreamed about. I'm doing things I have lived far more than I ever dreamed I would live. I've done more things than I ever dreamed I would do. Hallelujah. But what if I had not heard the voice of God. I could have been in Phoenix, Arizona, 117 degrees. Amen. My nachos melting before I ever got to eat them. And the ice in my Coca-Cola all melted. Understand? The palm trees have withered. You understand? But I was praying, Lord, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But I started to Phoenix because I got tired of waiting upon God. So I just began to take matters in my own hands and said, I believe, I just feel good about this. Hey, we can make major mistakes just by feeling good about something. Your flesh can feel good about something for a little while. I feel good about it. Many marriages have ended up on the rocks because somebody felt good about it. Many people have made the wrong decisions, wrong choices, simply because they felt good about it. Your mind has tremendous reasoning power, but your mind does not have the capacity or the capability to hear from God. The Bible said that the Spirit is the one that communicates with God. My spirit is the only one that can communicate with God. My mind can get information. My mind has reasoning power, but my mind cannot communicate with God. My soul does not have the capacity to do it. It's my spirit. John chapter 4, they that worship God must worship Him in spirit. Or the inference there is they that communicate with God communicate with Him spirit to spirit. God is a spirit, and He communicates with my spirit. So if I don't have an ongoing communication with the Spirit, then I will miss it. I'll make wrong decisions. I'll make wrong choices. I'll make the wrong turn. I'll be at the wrong place, the wrong time. There's a young lady that was working on our ministry team, and she has great giftings and correspondence. She's a hard worker. She just gets her head down and works until the job's finished. So I was delighted that she was working with me. But one night I had a dream, and I don't believe that every dream I have is from God. The Bible says a dream, a lot of times a dream just comes from having too much activity. The Cotton Patch translation would say from eating too much pizza. Shouldn't have called that Domino's at 10:47. So most of our dreams are not spiritual dreams. But you know if it's a spiritual dream because you'll wake up and you'll feel the anointing. If you wake up and feel fear, it's not a spiritual dream. God doesn't do that. It's not the way He operates. So I woke up, I had a dream, and in my dream, this lady, young lady named Brenda, I was talking to her in her office, and I was saying, I really believe that you're not to be working with me. You need to be working with Jean. You need to be serving her, working with her. And the moment I said it, she just broke out into a big grin and said, yeah, that's exactly what's in my heart. So the next morning, I walked into the office, and there it was. She was just sitting like I saw in my dream, and I began to share what I dreamed, and she just broke out into a big grin and said, that's exactly what's in my heart. I want to work with Jean. I want to serve her. And so we just made the shift, and it just worked out beautifully. She's fulfilled, and it's been an amazing happening. But my mind would have never figured that out. My mind would have said, I want her to work with me because she's good at correspondence. She gets things done. I can give her a work list, and she just gets it accomplished. But that was not what was in her heart. It was in her heart to work with my wife.